Lab Tech Unplugged, unearthing topics in the life sciences.
Hi everybody and welcome back to Lab Tech Unplugged. I'm your host Rachel, and in today's instalment of our Spotlight on Sustainable Science series, I'm delighted to be joined by Dulan Leonagay, who is a market development representative at MyGreen Lab. As part of his role, he works with the team to increase outreach and expansion of the ACT label to labs around the world, all with the aims to make a positive impact on sustainability across the industry. After graduating with a Master's in Engineering from the University of Manchester, he developed his engineering career as an industrial control and automation distributor for 3 years, before pursuing his passion for sustainability as part of the MyGreen Lab team. So welcome, Dulan, and thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
Great, thank you. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to speak to your community about sustainability in science, and also really looking forward to the weekend as it's Friday.
Absolutely. No, we're really glad to have you on, so thank you for joining us. So to begin with, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit more about your background and when you first became interested in sustainability.
So yeah, I grew up in South London. I very much came across sustainability at the same time as a lot of people in my generation, which was, you know, in our sort of teens to early 20s, going through high school and university, and really, you know, as especially as someone who was really dedicated to STEM. I loved chemistry. I loved maths, science in general, and, you know, really understanding that this was, you know, a scientific crisis that was occurring. And it was our generation's, not only our generation's responsibility to make an impact, but also we were also going to live with the consequences at least a little bit. So, you know, we would, you know, a lot of the science now in hindsight is showing that, you know, not only are we living with it right now, but a lot of the big impact is going to happen by 2030, by 2050. And these are all things that are going to be in the majority of our generation's lifetimes. And of course, you know, you think about like the Greta Thunberg generation as well, you know, the ones that came shortly after us as well. You know, it's our children, it's our children's children that are going to really, really feel the impact of this. I did an extended project qualification at high school, which was kind of a bit of a sort of half dissertation, half A level, kind of give you a bit of a practice for university. And I focused that on solar and wind energy and really trying to get into the weeds of that, because I wanted to be, you know, involved in renewables as I was, you know, going into engineering. I also ended up doing material science and engineering at the University of Manchester. My dissertation focused on corrosion, and part of it was doing electrolysis. And I really felt, because I was dealing with very heavily reactive metals, I really felt the impact that I was having on the electricity bill of the lab, let alone the university. I can vividly remember at one point the lights dimming a bit when I put the voltage meter up too high, and I just went, oh goodness, not only did this lab maybe need a bit of an upgrade, but at the same time, I mean, I was working in a fume hood, and I mean, anyone who knows anything about MyGreen Lab sustainability in the lab knows that fume hoods are, you know, hugely impactful. I think it's something like 3.5 houses worth of energy, you know, in terms of comparative. And so, you know, things like shut the sash and things like outlet timers, and that was all already in my head going out of university. So it's really been on my mind, you know, throughout the entirety of my adolescence, let alone the past, you know, past couple of years of my career as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That fume hood stat is not something I've heard before. That's, yeah, quite staggering.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things as well that there's a lot of information online about how much impact, because a lot of people are doing a lot of measuring at this point. A lot of people have spent the past, you know, 10 years or so measuring. I say 10 years because that's how old MyGreen Lab is. So, you know, we've really been pushing the message out there. But I mean, everyone's feeling that impact, whether it's fume hoods or, you know, plug load water, purchasing green chemistry. It just, the list goes on and on and on, and I think that's part of why MyGreen Lab do what we do. It's part of, you know, really tackling sustainability from every single angle that we can. I think one of the things that really drew me to MyGreen Lab was this kind of you know, I don't want to say nihilistic, but when I was in university, in my you know, later years of high school, I was really feeling this kind of, yeah, I know it's our generation's responsibility, but I just don't feel like I'm having enough impact as one person. Mm. I just don't think that I can do enough. And that's when I really, you know, and you sort of get this kind of generic nihilism, you know, global sort of thought of like, oh, well, you know, there are much bigger countries. I won't name any, but, you know, that have, you know, let's say I'm grown up in the UK, you think we're such a small, you know, island comparative to the rest of the world. And, you know, there are so many other bigger impacts. And it's also industry as well. How do you impact an entire industry mm-hmm. to create positive difference? And the answer to that is culture. I feel like we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. But, you know, it's about building culture, and it's about getting other people to do what you're doing, leading by example. I mean, what's the reason why you and I started folding boxes and, you know, making sure our, you know, rubbish was going into the right bins? It's because everyone else was doing it. It's because someone else told me that this was a good thing to do. It's also because it was not too difficult to do as well. It's like, oh, well, you know, I guess I could, you know, slightly change that one thing, and, you know, it would just make a bigger impact overall. And now there's a massive recycling bin underneath my flat that every single person in this, you know, in this block of flats is at least contributing to in some way, sometimes not the right way, let's be honest, but you know, it's about making an impact together, you know, and yeah. Sustainability is about making a big difference, yes, but by doing that, you know, by doing lots and lots of little things and cumulatively making a big difference and inspiring others to do the same, setting an example. So yeah, that's where My Green Lab really kind of just like stuck out to me. It's like, wait a second, I can, as one person during my day job, have a huge impact on people just by, you know, like talking today to your community. A lot of people are going to go back and think about, you know, whether they're labs that are your customers or other manufacturers, thinking about their environmental impact, hopefully, I suppose. Hopefully yeah. I'm not inspiring, but you know, it's that kind of thing that hopefully you'll get some introspection. And at the bare minimum, that should be what we can expect from My Green Lab's impact, is just to kind of go back and go, wait a second, do we actually have to be doing science this way? Oh, wait a second, do we actually have to be making products this way? Is there another way to do it? And, you know, are there other examples out there in the community? Well, you know, look us up and we'll tell you, basically.
No, absolutely. That's definitely a theme that's run through as we've done this series. I think it's breaking the habits that we do mm-hmm. without thinking. And as you said, just stopping mm-hmm. to take a think. And it is, rather than making these great sweeping changes that perhaps seem a bit overwhelming, it's what small mm-hmm. steps can we take that yep. make it a bit more longstanding. So you very nicely then mentioned My Green Lab. So for any of our listeners that aren't familiar with My Green Lab or may have heard of My Green Lab but perhaps don't know much about them, can you give us a quick background into the organization and the aims that mm-hmm. you're trying to do?
So I suppose I'll start at the beginning. My Green Lab was founded 10 years ago as a non-profit out of the west coast of America by our founder Alison Paradise, who was a neuroscientist, and she was working in the lab, and she thought, flipping heck, that's a lot of impact we're having, isn't it? Like, and you just think, whether it's energy, water and waste, or like any of the other millions of things that, you know, I've already mentioned, isn't it crazy how much of an astronomical impact we're having compared to even the average office worker? And I mean, anyone who's seen a presentation from My Green Lab before has seen the slide where we talk about energy, you know, being 10 times more on average than office spaces, water 4 times more on average, and, you know, over 5.5 million metric tons of plastic waste each year. And that's all growing, let's be honest. You know, as much as we are already making a huge impact to mitigate for the increase in all of these things, at the same time, we are seeing that, you know, that it's going to take sustainability becoming the norm, not the exception. It's going to become it's that cultural shift that we've already started the wheel turning on, that will eventually snowball into, you know, completely revolutionizing the way we look at science and the way that we conduct it. You know, to answer the question, yeah, we've been around for 10 years talking to everyone in the industry about how to reduce your impact. So our mission statement is to build a global culture of sustainability in science. We want to ensure a world where science is conducted in a way that benefits both the health of the people and the planet. Because you've got to think, science is, medical science, where you think we're saving lives, and that's never ever going to be unimportant. At the same time, we need to, think about the long game as well. Think about, like I said, it's our children's children who are going to feel the environmental impact. It's about looking at science in taking a step back and thinking and going, wait a second, do we have to use this much plastic? Do we have to, use this much water? Is there other alternatives, whether it's at the product level, looking at, things that have, use more, use less water, use less energy, have dematerialization in the packaging, FSC certification, Energy Star ratings. There's all sorts of things out there that can really give you the information that you need to make those decisions. At the same time, what about the human being? And I bring it back to my, quandary going into this industry, going, what can I do as one guy, one person just standing here trying to make an impact? Well, what you can do is build a culture. What you can do is look at your best practices, look at what you're doing every single day, and think, what could I do to make an impact? And again, it's hard. It's difficult to think of that, right? It's such a complicated question to ask. I mean, I talk to manufacturers all day about the ACT label, and I say, you need to be making your products more sustainable. What does that mean? What's a sustainable lab product? At the same time, what's a sustainable experiment? How do you build your lab experiments to make as little impact as possible, but still prioritize the accuracy and the efficacy of these things? And on the other side, there's, a lot of organizations we talk to at the end of the day are thinking about their bottom line as well. They need to continue being organizations that make the positive impact that they do. So how do they, how does this not, completely overhaul everything they're doing and cost them loads of cash in the process? So, really looking at that at the certification level, we have a program ecosystem. At the certification level, we really look at sustainability from the top down and bottom up of the industry. So top down at the manufacturer level, what are the supply chain impact of your product? What's the product life cycle? Kind of looking at the past, present and future of the product with our ACT label, saying we're going to give you a snapshot of the sustainability at the product level, and across the manufacturing of the product, the use case and the end of life. But at the same time, from the bottom up, and I don't want to, from that to sound diminishing, because that's where a huge amount of the impact comes through the supply chain as well, up through the supply chain as well, with the lab users, with the individuals, and going into labs and saying, where are you at? What are you already doing to be sustainable? Where could you be? Can we give you some advice? We've been around for 10 years talking to people about sustainability in science. There are 14 different areas, and I can't list them all off the top of my head, but I've already said a couple earlier, energy, water, waste, purchasing, green chemistry, plug load fume hoods, etc. Let's again take a snapshot of where you are, give you some advice to improve, give you some time to implement that advice, and then come back and ask you again, how are you doing? Where are you at? And then certify your lab, give you, and this is the same with the ACT label, the same with the manufacturers, give you a platform to say, we're doing this, we're looking into it. Come and, because remember what I said, you've got to inspire other people. You've got to get other people on board. And so, again, part of building culture is setting an example. So really, the MyGreen Lab certification and ACT give labs and manufacturers respectively a platform to A, sing about the sustainability efforts that they're already making, but B, an internal snapshot for continuous improvement so that they can continue developing their sustainable best practices, like I say, whether it's through experiments or manufacturing. So that's at the certification level. And then we do recognize as well, there's everyone in between, right? It's not just the labs, it's the students that come in and out of them. It's the distributors in between the manufacturer and the lab, right? It's everyone in that community needs to be able to make a difference. It's even just people like I was when I was 16, 18, 21, going through university and wanting to make an impact. How do you enable those people with the tools? And so what we have is a couple of education opportunities, like our ambassador program. If there's one thing you take from this from this webinar today, go and do our ambassador program. It's completely free. It takes an hour to an hour and a half of your time. It took me an hour anyway. And it's got some videos and multiple choice questions that give you a baseline overview of lab sustainability to say, you know, what are the lowest of the low hanging fruit? What are the things that we could, you know, some quick tricks you can make in the lab, but also why am I Green Lab doing what we're doing? You know, I mean, the thing that I just talked from, on end about for ages, it gives you some contextualization. It gives you some, you know, sort of real life scenarios. And at the end of it, you get a certificate saying you're a MyGreen Lab ambassador. You've taken some time out of your day to, you know, to look into sustainability. And at the same time as well, again, inspiring others, right? You stick that certificate on your LinkedIn, you know, I mean, stick it on your wall if you want to. It really gives you, you know, that platform to say, I care about this stuff and so should you. And a deeper dive into that is our accredited professionals program. So this is a sort of low cost, paid for modular version of the ambassador program. So we take six different areas, energy, water, procurement, engagement, green chemistry, and the last one is escaping me now, which is really embarrassing. We look at these six different areas and we say to, we say to people, you know, if you really want to focus on this area, let's give you some real good education and some real data from the community. I think the last one was procurement, if I hadn't said that already, which is ironic because that's the most important one to me. We also run a freezer challenge through the first half of the year that really, you know, focuses on freezers. I mean, obviously they're a massive impact when you really think about, you know, the majority of a lot of labs impacts come from fumids and freezers, right? So freezers are one where you can really make some huge impacts by making very, very little changes and, you know, just optimizing a couple of things. We talk about minus 80 to minus 70 all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of people actually, especially the newer people to the labs, get a little bit, you know, scared by that concept. But a lot of people who've been in labs for a while, and this was actually something that was said on our recent freezer challenge call where people were saying, well, actually, you know, I can, as someone who's been in this industry for a while, I can remember a world where minus 70 was the best option. It was the lowest it could go and we were doing science just fine, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's been these kind of two competing races in the freezer industry, and I'm really going off on a bit of a tangent here, but of this kind of thing of, we need to get it as cool as possible. That's going to be the, no pun intended, that, you know, the USP. It's going to be like, yeah, we can get to minus 82. Meanwhile, the other guys only got to minus 80 sort of thing. And then at some point people realized the amount of impact it was having and went, oh, okay, wait a second. Could we not just do it at minus 75? Wouldn't that work kind of thing? And then going, oh, well, how high can we get where we can still actually do, you know, do our science? Because it A, makes the, obviously reduces your impact, saves you a bit of cash as well in terms of your energy bill, but also saves you a bit of cash in the long run because your freezers last longer. You're not running them at their absolute max the entire time. So there's all sorts of different savings and stuff that we also try to capture in terms of getting people involved, but also, again, trying to advocate for people to just make a difference and get involved in quite a fun activity as well. For labs, you know, people really enjoy going through that challenge as well. Keep an eye out for that. Happy to, you know, answer any questions on that if you want to contact me after as well, you know, to any of your audience. We also have, you know, campaigning as well. Our MyGreen Lab certification was selected by the UN as the UN Race to Zero campaign as one of the breakthrough outcomes. So what that means is, you know, looking at limiting to a 1.5, you know, we talk about a 2-degree world all the time, you know, limiting to a 1.5 degree world by 2050, one of the breakthrough outcomes that needs to be achieved by 2030. And that's not far off away, is it now?
It's creeping up quickly.
You know, a couple of years ago, I'd have gone, oh yeah, well, we've got time to do that. And now I'm like, oh gosh, there's like 5 years left. Anyway, you know, one of the breakthrough outcomes that we need to achieve by 2030 is that our certification needs to be rolled out at the highest level, which means people need to not just be doing it, but need to be doing it as well as they can and making as much of an impact as they can in their laboratories. And that kind of gives you an idea of, and that's across 95% of the biotech and pharma industry, pharma and medtech. And we also have the last of our programs that I'll mention is our Million Advocates for Sustainability in Science, which is an advocacy campaign that focuses on advocating for funding sustainability to be prioritized when it comes to funding bodies. I think I've covered everything. I mean, as I say, you know, there is a huge amount that we cover because you can't just pick one thing when it comes to sustainability. You've got to cast a wide net. You've got to get as many people involved as possible. And usually, if they're involved with the ambassador program, oh yeah, we'll do some, you know, we'd love to look at the AP. Oh, do you know what? We happen to be a manufacturer doing the ambassador because we really think it'd be great for our customers to know that we're doing looking into this stuff. Also, let's do an ACT label. Let's get involved with that. We might be a lab. I'm a student doing the ambassador program. I'm going to get my lab manager involved to do the MyGreen Lab certification so we can make an impact and we can build culture and everyone can, continue to make an impact as people come in and out of this lab in the future.
Brilliant. Thank you for taking us on that walk through my right. As you said, there's certainly an awful lot that you cover, but that just shows how many different angles we can come at this challenge. Thank you so much. And I think before we jump into ACT, which I know is very much your focus, for anyone that's listening and wants to become part of the MyGreen Lab community, is that through the ambassador program?
I would say that is the best first step you could take. Definitely follow us on LinkedIn, and also sign up to our newsletter. That's also, when you go to look up mygreenlab.org, you can see a range of ways to get involved. I'd say the first three steps I would take is follow us on LinkedIn, do our ambassador program, and sign up to our newsletter, because even if you're a manufacturer, you'll get notified of all the ACT Eco labels as they go live on the newsletter. But also anyone who's part of our community will get notified of all the wonderful things that we're doing out there in the community, all of the initiatives that are going on out there that are within our eyesight, so to speak. Definitely recommend those three things.
Lovely. Thank you. So now moving on to ACT, as we've said, and this is very much your focus, and so this has been set up to make lab users think more carefully about procurement. So if you could just tell us a bit more about the ACT label and also about the role of procurement in sustainability.
I mean, you know, we started doing the MyGreen Lab certification ages ago, and, you know, we started out talking to labs saying, here's, 14 different areas that you can become more sustainable. One of them was purchasing. So saying, let's, buy more sustainable lab products. And then the other one was, there was another one then there, the green chemistry. Design your experiments in a more sustainable way and, try to minimize the impact. And again, products come very heavily into that, whether it's just the plastic pipette tips, whether it's reagents you're using and harmful chemicals in their manufacturing process, or even the big bits of equipment. Think autoclaves, think freezers, think, how much impact those things have. Even just think about your dishwasher at home. there's a huge amount of impact that all of these pieces of equipment have. A lot of them, you'd imagine that someone would turn back to us and go, well, what is a sustainable lab product? That is a genuinely really difficult question to answer. I always pick up a water bottle or a box of chocolate sometimes is a nicer one. But you sort of look at that and go, what makes that sustainable? Now, number one thing people usually say to me is plastic. Oh, it's made out of plastic. That means it's not sustainable. First of all, not all plastic is bad. And that's a whole other thing that I can talk to for half an hour and I won't to save some time to focus on the ACT label. But it's everything from what's this made out of to how did you source the materials to make it? What about the manufacturing facility? Was there renewable energy at that manufacturing facility? Have you done any ISO certifications there? What about the manufacturing impact reduction, the process through which it has actually gone through before you even get the resin for the plastic, so to speak. So and then beyond that as well, what about the end of life of the product? A lot of manufacturers out there, and props to them, are looking into this stuff and are making their own claims and saying, look, here's our eco range, here's our green range, we've using natural refrigerants, or we've used less plastic than we were using before. Dematerialization is a word I use a lot there. But a lot of that is difficult for lab procurement to engage with, because if every manufacturer makes their own claims, first of all, it's coming from the person selling you the product. And secondly, it's also difficult for people in procurement to make a procurement decision between two manufacturers then, right? Because ultimately, they're not going to be able to buy everything from one manufacturer. And so, I mean, we did a survey, it was Frost and Sullivan and Agilent, and I think we surveyed a huge, quite a wide array of lab decision makers and lab procurement officers, and said, well, look, what's important to you? And over 80% of them said they rely on the vendors for this information. So we can't just be the complete arbiters at the same time. However, and obviously we have to then get the manufacturer involved for that to be impactful to the procurement. However, over 90% of the same group of people said, we prefer an independent certification of sustainability at the product level. So what ACT is a third party verified and standardized audit of the product. So we involve a company called SMS Collaborative. So we design the standard by which every product is audited to. SMS Collaborative do the audit, essentially. It's a remote and data-driven audit. A lot of manufacturers, would say, like, look, is someone going to come into our facility? Is this going to be invasive? No. It's completely remote and data-driven, just like I'm sitting here as a box on your screen instead of in front of you over a cup of coffee. It's that kind of, we want to walk the walk when it comes to sustainability, and the same is true for the lab certification as well. And the result is the data gets suggested into these different categories that, as I say, go across the past, present, future of the product. So the manufacturing, what impact has it already had before it gets to you, before you even switch it on or take it out of the box or whatever, including, speaking of the box, the packaging as well, because it's not just manufacturing facility, it's the product, it's the packaging of the product as well. And then you've got the use case. So for equipment, for example, you've got the energy and water, which is taken over a 24-hour use case of the product. And that's a typical use case as well, because it's not just going to be on the entire time. And so, things like standby mode, things like energy saving mode are taken into account there. And then product lifetime as well. I mean, people always talk about reduce, reuse, recycle, right? So, before you chuck it in the bin, it's going to have a huge amount of reduced impact by you not doing that, by you continuing to reuse it, engage with your manufacturer on, upkeep, warranty and all the rest of it. So then at the end of it as well, at some point, you're going to have to chuck it away. It might break or whatever it is, or, even if it's, especially if it's like a single use plastic, because again, at the end of the day, you might not get very attached, have a lot of time to get very attached to that product, like you say. So, then it's a case of recyclability, compostability, and actually verifying these things. That's the other thing is again, people like to throw the term biodegradable around a lot. A lot of digging starts to realize, oh, does that actually mean anything, sort of thing? Yeah. And how can we actually verify that? Which is why you start to see the rhetoric change away from, and again, I'm careful how I use this word, because it's a big one, but greenwashing. How do you stay away from greenwashing? And the fact of the matter is, when lab procurement officers are looking up the supply chain at distributors and manufacturers and suppliers and going, we want to pick the most sustainable things out there, we need a greenwashing free way of people for people to be able to make these procurement decisions, right? So what do you do there? You don't, ACT is not a green label. It's not your product is magically sustainable because it has an ACT label. It's not. It has a score. It's a snapshot of the sustainability of the product at that time during the audit. And it's a communication from the manufacturer that they're on a journey of continuous improvement. It's saying, we took that first step. We took that step back and look. And we did that, we introspected, and here's where we're at. And so, on the ACT label, it's a total score, and the lower score is a lower impact. As you look at the label, there are green labels, there's a traffic light system. It's green numbers, orange numbers, and red numbers. And so there are going to be some red numbers on there. There's going to be some nines and tens. There's scores from 1 to 10. There's going to be some nines and tens on there. And, a lot of manufacturers are saying, oh, gosh, what if we score bad? What if we score bad? Wait a second. ACT is an acronym. ACT is an acronym that stands for accountability, consistency, and transparency. And I want to focus on that last one there, transparency. by doing ACT, by getting the label, you are communicating to the rest of, you know, everyone below you in the supply chain that you are actually looking into this. And again, bring up the thing of culture and inspiring people and getting other people to do the same. You're committing to a consistent standard. So every single product on that ACT database has been held to the same standard. So you can hold up two different boxes of pipette tips from two different manufacturers and go, by the ACT standard, I can tell this one's got a 2, this one's got a 3. Right, okay, this one's got a lower impact, so to speak. And then accountability as well. It's a case of you showing you're holding yourself accountable as a manufacturer. However, as well, the lab procurement person is holding themselves accountable to the impact of the products that they're bringing into their labs as well. And that brings it back into, you know, the lab certification, best practices and impact as well. I mean, we have over 55, I think, I want to say over 60, but I'd need to double check that, manufacturers involved at the moment, with over 1,000 products out there on the database and nearly 2,000 total in audit. I think there's, yeah, over 40 manufacturers out on the database, over 1,000 products out on the database, and yeah, about 60 and nearly 2,000 products in total of what's already in audit as well. So, I mean, all of those numbers are going to shoot into the stratosphere as more and more manufacturers commit to this kind of portfolio-wide approach, you know, to sort of say, like, look, it's not just about where we want to put our eco range on the ACT database. It's also about conveying transparency. It's also about saying, well, if we want to put our new products on there, we should get the old ones audited as well, because, you know, it's transparency across the two. And we can actually use that to communicate to our community, to the MyGreen Lab community and to our own customer base as well, that we've made that improvement over the course of redesigning the product. So there's a huge amount of flexibility, opportunity for manufacturers to really get on board. And like I say, it's a platform for them to scream about it, because at the end of the audit, we then announce to our community, as I've said on the newsletter, on our LinkedIn, to our ambassador community, hey guys, so-and-so is the latest person to get ACT labels. Here's the products that they've got labeled. Go on our database and find out more. You can compare between different products of the same type, etc. And at the same time as well, you know, giving you the opportunity, it's a marketing collaboration. It's also like, you know, as a manufacturer, do you want to put it on your exhibition booths and drive like in-person impact as well? Because human to human interaction, right? Get people inspired. Look at this funky label that lets me boast about my product, you know, to you. And at the same time, stick it on the product, get people involved, you know, to look at the database and engage with it more.
Lovely. Thank you. I just want to switch things up slightly, so move away from procurement, because I know a lot of our listeners are day-to-day lab users working at the bench.
Of course.
And as you mentioned there, the sheer number of organisations and scientists that you work with as part of MyGreen Lab. So I am assuming that you've picked up a lot of tips and tricks along the way from working with these companies. So,
yeah,
just wanted to pick your brain really in terms of anything that you can share with our audience.
Yeah, of course. I will say all of the talk about procurement is super, super important to lab users as well. I will get back to that. But let's answer the question directly. Tips and tricks. First of all, things like shut the sash. I mean, a lot of this is in the ambassador program. And these are the ones that always come to my head, because I think that's really for us the lowest hanging fruit and the really like the easiest stuff for you to make a huge impact with. You know, look at your freezers and, you know, are all of them running at minus 80? Great, cool. Well, you know, what if they were running at minus 70? Would that actually impact the integrity of your products? Now, in very, very niche scenarios, there's, you know, oh, maybe we should, you know, maybe go for minus 72 instead of minus 70, so to speak, and stuff like that. There's, I think, some specific mRNA samples where it's like, okay, well, maybe this is a little bit sensitive. And, you know, integrity and scientific accuracy needs to be at the forefront of this, because we do need to be able to continue to make create scientific innovation, because a lot of positive environmental impact comes from that as well. And like I said, you know, it's about human well-being as well as environmental well-being. Yeah, there's you know, look at your but also, you know, look at things like the inventory as well, and, you know, sharing procurement structures as well. You know, are you making all different procurement activities from separate labs, What if, you know, as a university, for example, you had one unified procurement, big bulk order, so to speak, you save on things like packaging and shipping and all the rest of it by doing that. As well as that, you know, we're looking at your looking at your taps as well. You know, speak to energy and water. These feel like the lowest hanging fruit to anyone talking about sustainability. So water, you know, sticking aerators on your taps can. I mean, I think one of the labs that went through our freezer challenge and actually was doing our marketing lab certification as well, was saying stuck aerators on their taps and it saves something like 70% of their water. And it's like, you know, that's not just an environmental impact, that's also a financial impact as well, especially if you're in the UK and you know, you're paying a water bill, so to speak, as a lab. You know, that you've got to think like, actually there's a return on investment here, and to speak to that as well, energy as well, things like outlet timers. Now a lot of people would say, well, the water bath needs to be on all night because otherwise when I get back in the morning I can't wait 2 hours for it to heat up. Well, okay, right, what if you had an outlet timer that switched it on 2 hours before you got into work? So then it's off the entire night, you've saved all of that energy over the 8 hours, and then you get to work and it's ready to go. Great, cool, that's amazing. And I mean that water bath example can be applied to all sorts of equipment, anything you think needs to warm up, so, you know, before you can use it. And it could be only a couple of minutes, but you spread that couple of minutes across a year, you spread that across a couple of years of working in the lab, you spread that across every single person working in the lab doing that with that piece of equipment, and suddenly you've made a huge amount of impact. Again, not only on the environment, great stuff, go ahead, exactly why I'm here, but also on your energy bill, which means that, you know, whoever's sat there having to buy all the outlet timers goes, oh, there's a long-term return on investment in this stuff, and actually we're only going to save, I mean, when you think about that, that's a potentially infinite return on investment at that point, isn't it, of just doing one small action. So yeah, those are some quick tips and tricks that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, I suppose it'd be hypocritical of me to say literally it could be as simple as turning off the lights, but you've got to appreciate I'm in Ireland and apparently, you know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon is not light enough. Yeah. But oh well, what can you do?
It's October.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Brilliant, thank you for sharing those. And again, that's a theme that we've had coming up, that these small actions, although in themselves seem small, as you then said, it's when you think about the scale of those, mm-hmm. and then being taken on continuously over time,
yes.
then the impact of that for such a small action actually is quite significant.
If I could just latch onto that for a second, that is why our mission statement is build a global culture of sustainability and science. Because culture isn't just something that belongs to one person. It's not one person's behavior. It's about inspiring others to do the same. But it's also about, what about when I'm the lab, you know, if I'm a lab manager for 2 years and I move on to a different lab, and what happens to the person that replaces me in that lab? Do they adopt all the same, or do they completely come in and reinvent the wheel and undo all the good work that I've done? Well, if I've built a culture, everyone around me is to realize, okay, this isn't just something special we're doing just while we're doing the My Green Lab certification. This is now a part of our culture. This is now a part of our SOP, our best practices. SOP, I use the acronyms all the time, standard operating procedure. And on top of that as well, it's not just that lab that you've left, it's also the lab that you go into. And now you bring all that culture with you and you go, well, okay, if you're not already doing this, let me introduce you to, sort of thing. And you start to revolutionize. And again, it's a culture goes from person to person. And it's not just about inspiring others to do the same, but it's also about what you leave behind you. And it's about legacy as well. And, you know, I think going back to the first question you asked me, one of the reasons I got into sustainability is I want to look back and think I did something good, you know. And I think, you know, even if it's just a case of looking back on the past 24 hours before I go to bed and it's okay, good night's sleep, or, you know, it's looking back in the past 20 years and going, you know, did I make an impact well? And, you know, did I my everyday life, you know, outside of, you know, working at My Green Lab as well, but like, you know, it's also a case of, you know, during your day job, can you have an industry-wide impact while you're also doing all the folding boxes and all the rest of it, during your everyday life?
Yeah. So if we go from looking backwards to looking forwards, what's in store coming up in the future at My Green Lab? Is there anything that you can share in terms of what you're looking to do next?
Well, I think, you know, maybe just focusing on the present and immediate future, we've just launched Impact Laboratories, which is our subsidiary. Our business development and programs team, so the programs team being the people that kind of guide you through the My Green Lab certification, have been moved to the Impact Laboratories team. And that allows us to continue to verify and standardize our approaches. So the lab certification is both of our programs are getting iterated upon, and it's really important to keep up to the standard. We recognize, for example, that ACT has been around for 7-8 years and My Green Lab certification has been around for 10 years as well. So it's about really trying to drive improvement internally and recognizing that we have some growth to do ourselves. I mean, in speaking of growth as well, when I joined a year ago, I think we were 19-20 people, and now we're 27. I think, and I always say we're 20 whatever people doing 60,000 sometimes it feels, but
that
60
will resonate
people,
with a lot of our listeners, I'm sure.
it's an insurmountable task unless you stop thinking of it as insurmountable, unless you realize, okay, I'm going to have as much impact as I can today, and then I'm going to have as much impact as I can tomorrow. And then you top that up over the course of a week, month, years. And then also you realize how much bigger the community's gotten to. Keep your ears to the ground on this one. Keep up to date with us. Again, follow our newsletter. We just finished our global summit where we talk about a lot of the innovations in the industry. That happens every year. The recording for that is now live. You can sign up to it and register to it. Definitely have a look at that if you're interested. I think anyone in this industry, the summit is going to be really important to look at as well. I'm trying to think, over the next couple of months, you will see us make some great leaps and bounds. I mean, the ACT Eco label is currently in the final stages of approval for the EPA EPP, so this environmental purchasing program. So the US federal agencies are being required to at least prefer purchasing from a list of approved eco labels, essentially in all different ways, but the ACT Eco label sits as the only one that's on the lab product side of things. So I think the US federal agency stands as the biggest purchaser of lab products globally. That's huge. That's going to mandate that manufacturers really look into this stuff in the long run. But it's also going to drive people to prioritize sustainable innovation, both at the manufacturing level and the purchasing level as well. And I think as well, it's worth noting that I think the EU over the past year has put out some regulation as well, the Green Claims Initiative as well. That you can't make green claims about a product. You can't just say this is part of our eco range, this is part of our green tick, leaf, tree, whatever you want to call it, without having it externally verified. And again, thinking about that, 90% of lab users surveyed said that they would prioritize an independent certification, and that's what they prefer from their vendors. Keep your ear to the ground. Lots of manufacturers coming on board with the ACT label program in the next couple of months. The audit tends to take anywhere from 3 to 6 months on average, and it's a case of understanding that as I talk to you today with 40 manufacturers on the database and over 1,000 products on there, there's more in audit and there's more people getting involved every single day. In terms of the immediate future as well, I'll be at Lab Innovations. So come and say hi as well. Drop me a line. Let me know. I can organise to meet up and talk to you more about all things sustainability. I think I'd say Lab Innovations and the MSC Expo, if you're anywhere Ireland local, that's actually next week as well. Would love to meet people in person. We try to minimise environmental impact as much as possible when it comes to travel. I can literally see the venue for that Irish Expo out my window. We're trying our best. At the same time as well, we have also recently launched an initiative called Converge. The founding sponsors of Converge, Amgen, GSK, AstraZeneca, Bristol Myers Squibb and Merck. It's about harnessing the collective power of the pharmaceutical industry to encourage suppliers to reduce their impact. So, you know, for people that don't know a huge amount about the pharmaceutical industry, there's, you know, the innovation side about creating new drugs. There's also a case of, you know, the drugs that are already out there, CDMOs, CMOs, contract research and manufacturing organizations that are essentially, you know, repeating the same experiment and, you know, obviously mass producing all of this product. And again, it's all reagents, all drugs. It's all being created in the same in lab environments. And so there's a huge amount of impact that's coming from that side of the industry. And, you know, I talked about this top down, bottom up approach, but what about just below, you know, just in the middle there? So, you know, we're really getting as many of the big pharma as possible involved in that. So again, watch this space on that. And it's really important to get people excited about the scale of impact. Again, if someone's doing the same experiment over and over again, you tell them, all right, add this small thing, make this small change. Suddenly you're making a huge impact across a huge amount of the industry. So yeah, really excited about where 2025 will take My Green Lab and Impact Laboratories and everything in between.
Yeah, it sounds like there is an awful lot going on that will be keeping you busy.
Yes, definitely.
So one thing that we like to ask all our invited guests on here, and how we tend to round off each episode, is one takeaway that you would have for listeners, what would it be?
Do our ambassador program.
There we go.
Yeah. A danger of over elaborating. Do our ambassador program. I will just elaborate on the ambassador program itself. As I say, it is a free training course on our website. And it gives you a certificate at the end, which gives you, you know, an ability to sing about it to the rest of your community and get other people inspired, get your mates to do it as well. I mean, there's no harm in doing it at all. At the same time, you also get in, and I don't think I mentioned this before, you get added to our ambassador community, which is quite literally just a Teams chat, but it's all the different ambassadors. I mean, we have over 7,500 ambassadors worldwide. And I do mean worldwide. There's, you know, a concentration, as is our concentration of existence, in North America and Europe. However, you know, all over the world, Australia, Asia Pacific, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, it's a real opportunity to, again, kind of take that step back and see what everyone else is doing and really get involved in different ways. We have monthly ambassador calls, which are all the ambassadors are invited to listen to, where we have guest speakers and, you know, people talking about what sustainable innovations are out there in the industry as well. So there's kind of the passive, I'm part of a community, I'm part of a movement, I've done something myself already, and I'm going to continue having an impact. There's the active, oh yeah, let's get involved, let's get stuck in, let's see what's out there. And let's do some more. It also tells you a little bit more about all of our programs, and you know, it might raise some questions for you as to what your next steps as a member of this industry is.
Lovely, thank you so much. Thank you for taking time to speak to us. It's been really good speaking to
you're
you.
So well. Anytime.
If anyone listening has any questions or comments about what we've spoken about today, you can always reach out to us at community@sptlabtech.com. You can find and connect with Dulan on LinkedIn. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to speak to you about anything My Green Lab. Or you can also find out more information at info@mygreenlab.org. So thank you everyone for joining us today. Thank you, Dulan, and we hope to see you again soon.
Cheers. Thank you so much for the time, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with your community. Look forward to hearing back from everyone.
See you soon.
Cheers. Bye.